Praise God. Well, we have, as usual, a title, and I want to talk today on faith because it doesn't go long before we get back to the basics, to why we're here, how we make it into the kingdom of God. And we're calling our teaching today, Our Faith Has to Be Worked On and Perfected. Our faith has to be worked on and perfected. I think most, unfortunately, and amongst preachers, they tend to avoid where the Word of God says, be perfect even as your Heavenly Father is perfect. They're not quite sure what to do with that one, because if you outwardly look at that, that probably disqualifies all of us. But of course, when you begin to look into the Word and you look into the Greek, you realize that the Lord is doing a perfecting work on us. And it isn't being perfect where you are sinless in this life. That cannot be. All the while, we still live in a fallen world that is rapidly falling away. But this perfection is because we are sealed, we are preserved, we're called from the foundation of the world. And God always sees that perfect work done through us, through his Son, Jesus Christ, who was perfect. Remember, he always receives and accepts us through his beloved, his Son. He doesn't question when Jesus confesses a name before him. He doesn't even consider that, because they are one. He has overcome the world. He trusts him, and that he never makes a mistake. These are just some of the wonders of our salvation and being called in Jesus Christ. However can we pay that back? We can't. But we can give him the glory. We can acknowledge him. We can bow the knee in his presence and allow him to do that perfecting work within us. And that is accomplished by our believing. This is how he does it. You see, perfection is connected with God working with our faith. You can't separate any of this. And so often the problems that we have with faith is that we read in the Bible, we interpret it, and we battle with it that we cannot live it. And of course, the enemy is always vocal with that. The enemy is always vocal whenever we read God's word. Well, you fall desperately short of that. You aren't walking in faith. You're not meeting the standard, the requirements that the word of God says. Thank God that we walk by faith. Thank God that he is patient, long-suffering, and merciful, and that he doesn't give up on us, and that he makes no mistake through those whom he calls and chooses. And even if you are condemned, and even if the word of God does do that, then our faith believes that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You see, you cannot get away. You cannot escape faith. It will always come back to believing. Either I believe in man and I trust in the arm of the flesh, or I believe and I stand upon his word and his promises, and that he will work that faith in me that perfects me. We have to always remember that we are that clay upon the potter's wheel, and he's ever working, molding, changing us into his image. And God has provided for us to be able to walk in this new life, not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ. He's provided for that. He's made the way for that at Calvary. He has made it possible through his death and resurrection. And whatever our circumstances, however bad it looks, God has given us that new life in Jesus Christ. And we need to remind the enemy of that. We still listen too much to his suggestions, his condemnation, his telling us what God isn't doing today. You have to at times rise up and come against those fiery darts. You are the one that has to protect your mind. God isn't going to do that. He has provided the wherewithal that that protection can be achieved by your confession, by your belief, your faith in the Lord's word, and rejecting those fiery darts, that unbelief, those things that he suggests to the mind. As I say so often, you meditate or entertain it for a minute and you battle with it for over an hour. And that's what always happens. The enemy is not stupid. That is the only access he has now, that is to your mind. And God has permitted and allowed that for a purpose, in order for our faith to mature, to develop, to grow. All things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. He uses the very thing that Satan tries to oppress and hold us with. He uses that in which to get us to rise up in his power and might and spirit, to tell the enemy, the powers of darkness, enough. You see, God doesn't force us. He wants us to obey him from the heart. That is what he does. And he's patient and long-suffering with this. And that is how we walk, brothers and sisters, and that is how our faith is going to be perfected before him. We still entertain these thoughts, these doubts, the enemy's lies, his suggestion. He will always, always work it in such a way that he will try to appeal to any pride that is still found in you. That is what he looks for. If there's still that pride, he will work on that to cause unbelief, questioning, doubting. This is why God calls us to bow the knee, to confess sin. You see, God isn't going to have a quick confession. He's going to have a confession of sin, unbelief, from us when we devote that time in his presence and we have poured our hearts out before him. We lay bare before him. That is true confession. When you are truly sorry, broken in the heart, you've done it to the one who has saved you and what it cost him. That is how you get the devil off your back. This is what God did with King David. And look how long it took him to get to that place when the prophet exposed what he had done. He then was broken to the heart. And this is what God is doing. It is always heart surgery. Why to such lengths? Because we don't know our hearts. They deceive us. We don't know what is there until the trials come. And this is how our faith is perfected before Almighty God. And how is this achieved? By staying with it, by coming, by listening, staying under the ministry, the anointing, God's presence that he's placed over us. He will bring us through. That's all he asks of us. And he will do the rest as we yield and don't resist him. And that's why we know that faith in Hebrews 11, 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That substance isn't so much the problem, it's the evidence. The evidence is the word of God I read, I see. That is the evidence. When I read what God says over me, that is it. It's as good as if Jesus was present speaking to me. That's what faith is about. This is where you get your faith from, the Word of God. It's as good as Jesus there speaking to me, teaching me. That is what he says over me. There's the evidence. And it's having that confidence that the substance or the realization of this is true. And that it's on the way. No doubting. And any doubts that start, you deal with them in the mind. You remember I gave that teaching a few weeks ago, and some of you were really convicted by that and realized that you've got to do something with your mind. You see, that's God's love when he brings these things up. Don't ever think that we have become so mature, we've walked so long in this war that we can't hear a faith message anymore. Oh, yes, we can. God is going to continue to remind us and bring us back to the basics. And I thank him for this. This is what keeps us humble before him. And instead of becoming proud and arrogant, look at us, what we know. We sit under an end time message of faith, the deeper life. God will not let this assembly become proud in what we're receiving. We're still on a journey. We're still being perfected. We're still dealing with our doubts. And we still battle whether it's really true. We battle the interpretation. We question. We question the anointing. We ask for the signs. Where are they? And so on. Oh, you see, these signs at times comes in ways that we're not always prepared for. God is working a lot of signs in your life, but you're not always looking in the right direction. But they are there. And they are coming, and we're going to see greater signs towards the end. You see, the Word of God teaches us how we understand. How do we understand? It's by the parable of the sower. That's how he teaches us. That because the disciples were asking these questions, and then he gives that parable. And he says, all that seed that is sown, not all of it goes into the heart. There's only one area of the parable that shows where the seed goes into the heart, into good soil, prepared. The rest of it, sadly, is wasted. Isn't it awful that a lot of God's teaching and preaching through ministers, through the Word of God, is wasted? isn't sown into the hearts. You could cry, you could weep. I saw a message on Instagram from a lady, I think she was young, and she said, why is it so many out there hate Jesus? And you could have wept. She was asking that question. And it's true. The reaction you get now, if you talk about the Lord and about Jesus and so on, the reaction you get, it's toxic. There's such haters of God out there now. Who's doing all of that? The enemy, because he knows his time is short, and it sadly can come out of our own families. But we take no notice of that. We stand upon God's word, his promises, what he says about that. And that is no problem to God. God has a way of melting those hard hearts, the same as he did with us. But our faith still has to be worked on. Look at the religious leaders, how they came to Jesus. And we at times battle this one. Let's turn to Luke 8 and verse 11. I've already just spoken a bit about the parable of the sower. And here it is. Because the Pharisees were always asking for a sign. In the flesh, you see. And God is going to deliver us from always asking and wanting a sign. We are to walk by faith. And he says, now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. When the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So he says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. And the devil comes and he takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe. There it is, faith. They don't mix faith with that which they hear, which was exactly what the children of Israel did. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation or trials fall away. So God is going to allow us to go through trials of our faith to see where the word is planted. Are our hearts like rock? We're not letting God deal with the heart. Because if we don't, we're excited about the word, we're excited about salvation, we're excited about the fact that we're on our way to heaven, but a big problem is there. We're not allowing God to deal with the heart. And that is the deeper life. And so when the trials, temptations come, what does it say? Fall away. They don't endure to the end. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. So we see the ones then who have the word, but they fight against separation in their lives. They're not allowing the Holy Spirit to take the world out of their hearts. They love it still too much. And it chokes the word. It chokes anything that's trying to get into the heart. Why? Because there's too much clutter there. There's too much going on. And so there's no maturity. They don't grow. And that is a huge problem in Christendom. Little growth. And here it is. But the ones that fell on good ground are those having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So the ones where it falls on good ground, meaning the heart is open for surgery, for change, having heard the word, see, they hear it. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. They hear it. And they have an upright and a good heart. And they keep it and they bear fruit with patience, because it takes patience. He that endures to the end will be saved. There we are. Jesus clearly reveals the parable. And he goes on then to explain it and so on. We know it very well, but we need to come back and be reminded of that, because the parable of the sower, it takes place every time we come and we have the word ministered to us. Did you know the parable of the sower? That parable is taking place today in this meeting with each of us on how we hear. And that's why the evidence of faith is seen by our works of faith. One of the greatest works of faith that is commendable to God now before him is your endurance, staying with it, being faithful. That is what he's looking for, because with that, the potter is able to work with the clay. That's the principle that God has been showing, particularly in this assembly, for many, many years. And I thank the Lord for that, because there are times we have missed the mark a big time with regard to our faith and our act of faith. What does it say in James 2? You know this very well. And verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? So obviously, in the flesh, we are led by the Spirit. We act our faith. And notice what it says here. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? So there are the works of faith that work together with our works. What does it mean by that? Well, it means that we at times actively in the flesh act upon the word of God. So they are the works of faith. Because faith requires works. And a lot of our works is simply standing upon these promises, confessing them, believing them, waiting to see God manifest. The same as what Abraham's doing there. And it says that Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. So you see, our faith, our acting our faith, our enduring, staying with it, is all part of us being justified, making it in to the kingdom of God. You see, most of us would only be hearers and not doers of the word, were it not for our trials. Your trials get you to act your faith. And that is why we have to go through much trial and tribulation, of which to make it into the kingdom of God. Your very trials, which we know are tailor-made, are working to get your faith to act. Remember that. When the next trial comes, you just say to yourself, as much as this is alarming, as much as this is hurting me, this is to get me to act my faith. For without it, it cannot please God. You then have a completely different attitude and heart towards your trials, because you are seeing the bigger picture of what this is about, and that you know God has not got this wrong. Always think upon that. Let that be the focal point, because that is what the Word of God says, so that it deals with our faith, you see. Otherwise, we will just be hearers and not doers of the word, and we'll be puffed up in pride, just like the Pharisees were. But there also has to be steps of faith. And Abraham walked with steps of faith as he walked with God, because he was a pilgrim passing through. As I've said so often, our faith is like a ladder. We climb each step. Each step we climb is a step of faith. Don't look at how many steps are to come, how many more you've got to conquer or climb. You don't look at that. You look at each step on the way. And that is how God works with us. That is why we walk each day by faith with him, in order that he enables us to be able to climb this ladder by faith. It's interesting, as an assembly, but God has been working on our faith for many, many years. And it's interesting how we find ourselves in certain situations. It's interesting when we look at how God has been working over this church, and I can only speak of this church because I pastor it, but I'm sure the principle is the same with other assemblies that are going on with God. But we've seen more have left than have ever stayed. And what sadly has that shown us? The parable of the sower. We've seen, even with the distance that we live, we're all scattered around. We're not just in a local community or all in the same town or village. We're not. Yet we still continue to come. There is faith acting. We're not a large number, and yet we continue to meet. Here is faith acting. We have the trials in the assembly. Some of them are big trials. Some brothers and sisters are going through big trials at the moment, and God wants us to enter into that, to help take on the burden in prayer and intercession. It's not just a quick prayer. Oh, I've done my bit, my duty. No, if we want to see our brothers and sisters come through, then I am prepared to take the burden on in prayer and intercession. That is what it means. We've come through financial difficulties. Some of you have gone through financial problems over the years. Look how God has been faithful and brings you through. Some with the physical. How God has been faithful, maintaining, holding us, still coming faithfully, maintaining the purity of the word that we have week after week, praying for the word, praying for its purity, its holiness, because the word is changing us. We need this word. And we get behind this word so that we can grow and be those overcomers that God wants us to be. You see, if we resist in the flesh this faith being worked on, then you're going to find the flesh will start to control you. And that's what it does. The flesh starts to take over. It starts to dominate and control. And that loss of peace and fellowship and consecration with the Lord. And that's why he reminds us and keeps the cross in our lives, that we are to take up daily and follow him. The cross deals with the flesh life. It's the only instrument that will do it. And that's why Jesus said to all the followers that followed him, he turned and said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." They are the requirements. And that is what sorts it out. And that is why so little of the cross is ever taught these days. Let's end with Isaiah 46 and verse 22. Verse 3, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb." And this is the principle. And this is what it is in Isaiah 46, verse 3. "Listen to me, O house," or FGA, "and all the remnant of the house, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb." This is it. And it's based on hearing. That is our responsibility. And that's why we looked again at the parable of the sower. Because it's always based on how we hear. And it's not wrong to go before God and say, "Lord, am I hearing right? Is there anything that's blocking my hearing the word? Please show me, because the seed sown into my heart is absolutely essential. No fruit, no faith is birthed otherwise." I've always taken the parable of the sower in a godly fear, because that is the basic. That tells me what's going on with me, you see. That is why I say it's one of the greatest parables Jesus ever gave. And that is why we go through the trials and the testings, because that makes us not only hearers, but doers of the word. And that is why we can count it all joy when we go through various trials and temptations and testings, because it's making me not only a hearer, but a doer of the word. That's what it does. And so your trials are absolutely tailor-made. They are to get you to act your faith. They are tailor-made for God to reveal his power and his glory in weakness. Are you in impossible situations? Praise God. For the God of miracles, the God of wonders, the God who created the heavens and the earth will reveal his power and might. Your trials that you go through are to put the enemy to flight. God will raise a standard against the enemy, and no greater way than through the trials that you go through. Rest in that, brothers and sisters. Don't let the enemy in and put these doubts into the mind. The enemy is threatening. The enemy is speaking loud and clear into your life, into your circumstances. Let him. Let him. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's trying to put fear there. He's trying to put doubt. And he will always work it in a logical way. That's how he does it. But stand upon these promises. Guard your minds. Because God has done it for you. Resist those doubts, those temptations. Don't entertain it. Just go in tongues or confess the blood of Jesus over your mind. And you watch, the enemy will flee. And God will open up a way of escape for you. I am finding, as I come to a close, we are in impossible situations. Are they getting any easier, any better? No. It's becoming more and more impossible to walk this walk in the natural. I'm finding the enemy is throwing the book at us, and I wonder why. Because he fears what God is doing through us. And he will constantly continue to try and tell you, you can't walk this walk. Nobody walks this walk, not today. All the while trying to appeal to the logic, to the mind, to what we see and feel around us. But I don't know how God does it, but he does. He's a miraculous working God. But he preserves us. He gives his angels charge over us. He guards our minds. We are covered by the blood of the Lamb. He directs our walk, our footsteps. Just continue to confess, I am daily in the perfect will and plan of my Heavenly Father for his glory. Hallelujah. There we are, brothers and sisters. Our faith has to be worked on to be perfected. He's doing it. Don't fear. There's no fear in the perfect love of God. God is revealing to me as your pastor, and I just get glimpses of this at times, his fatherly love and attention over each of you. You are precious in his sight. And I share that with you because he just gives me that encouragement, glimpses of this, that work which he hath begun, he will complete and finish in each of us. You all have a blessed week.